And everything that I'm going to share with you today, just be encouraged that you're a part of what God is doing in Thailand because of your faithful giving, because of your prayers. Missionaries could not go where we go if it weren't for churches who pray and give like your church prays and gives. So just encourage yourself and be encouraged in the Lord that as I share that you're a part of what God is doing. The theme for the Asia-Pacific region is spend yourself. And so I'm going to be using that term a lot today, spend yourself. And I just want to encourage you and thank you that you have spent yourselves for the people in Thailand as you've given and as you've prayed. And we'll be challenge you in a little bit to continue spending ourselves for the needs of the people around us. But I just want to say thank you in advance. And thank you to Pastor Sid and to Pastor Bob for hosting me so well. I was able to spend last evening with them, and they took me to the new church this morning as well and got to see that. It's beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. The outside is beautiful. The inside's coming along. It's going to be beautiful, and I'm really excited for you that you'll finally be able to get into the new church. I know you've been working on that for a long time, and it's exciting to see what God is doing here. I was telling one of the ladies this morning that I can sense that you love each other and that you like to come to church. At least it seems like that to me. If not, you're faking it really well because I go to a lot of churches, and some churches people don't seem like they really, they're just there out of obligation and out of duty, I think. They don't seem like they're really happy to be there, but you seem to really be happy to be here and happy to be with each other. So that's a good thing. That's what church is all about, right? Encouraging one another and praising the Lord together. Amen? Amen. So I just want to go through today and share a PowerPoint with you first. PowerPoint will go through about five different areas of ministry that I've been involved in, just to give you a report of the kind of things that your money and your prayers have helped to accomplish the last 5 years. Before I went to Thailand last term, I felt like God was leading me toward five different areas of ministry, and I was able to be involved in all five of those areas, not all of them in the exact way that I thought that I would be involved in them, but all of them really rewarding and fulfilling. And so if you want, you can just scroll through all the flags, I mean all the maps. I kind of already explained where Thailand is to the kids, so you can just get a picture. In this map, it's the blue country. Go ahead and go to the next one. Here, it's the yellow one up there in the top left. It's south of China, north of Malaysia. You can see it there in yellow. And then here is just a map of Thailand. I live in Bangkok, as I mentioned, which is right in the center green part. Kind of where it comes up. That's where Bangkok is there. So you can go ahead and go to the next slide. The first area of ministry that I was able to be involved in, I call it the slums, which is not a very politically correct word. So officially, it's the Ekamai Road communities. There's a lot of slum communities that are in this area called Ekamai. Ekamai is the main road. There's another main road called Tong La. And there's a lot of little pockets of slum communities in those areas. And I started working in the slums a couple terms ago, but this last term I was able to continue to minister in those slum areas. Another missionary, Al Johnson, is the one who started the ministry, and I've been able to just kind of tag along with him. It's been really exciting. You can see in the picture the girl who's with me there. She's a girl who started coming to our English class. The way that we mostly minister to the people and the kids, particularly the kids in the slums, is through English. Thai people all want to learn English. It's very exciting for them to be able to speak English well so that they can get a job, a better job, so they can make more money, so they can support their family. It's very, very intriguing and very needed, actually, in that society more and more for getting a good job. So we go in and we teach English, and then we also partner with some of the local Thai churches, one in particular that's in this Ekamai area. So the people from the church come with us, and the kids are able to form relationships with the people from the church as well as learn English. And then through the relationships that are formed, the people from the church can invite them to come to the church, and the kids are able to become a part of the church and its ministry there. So May is an example of this. Oh, sorry, go back to May. May is an example of this. She started coming to her English class, and then she started coming to the church, and now she's, okay, now, sorry, now you can go. Now she's a part of this grow-up gang, which we now call King's Kids. She's a leader for the other kids who are coming, because May herself is a teenager now, and so she's been discipled through the church and is now one of the leaders for the kids program. So the church that we partner with every other Saturday, they have a big program for kids, usually anywhere from as few as 40 up to as many as 100 on a special day. They'll invite all the kids from the slum communities to come to the church and have a big, it's just like a children's church, basically, a big children's church. They'll have songs, games, prizes, a Bible story, of course, usually an altar time, memory verse, and through all those activities, the kids are, you know, they love to come, and they're also challenged to respond to the Lord, and many of them have accepted the Lord as their Savior. Okay, go to the next. This is just a picture of some of the kids who come to the church from one of the communities. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Another area that I'm involved in, though what I just told you about was children's ministry, it's particular slum ministry, but I'm also involved in many other kinds of children's ministry. One of the areas of children's ministry is training other children's workers to teach kids in their local churches. So we do a lot of children's workers training, not only in Bangkok, but in other parts of Thailand. I've done some in the north, some in the south, some in the northeast, and it's just been really exciting to see people from the churches in Thailand want to learn about children's ministry. In the past, children were not really, they were just kind of there at service and not really taught, just kind of taking up space. But nowadays in Thailand, the churches are seeing the importance of children's ministry, and they're really wanting to be trained so that they can better teach the kids the things of the Lord. So it's been exciting to go through the country to be able to hold different trainings and workshops. Okay, you can go to the next picture. This is just a puppet one that we did in northern Thailand. This is a picture. Another thing that I get to do with children's ministry is speak at camps throughout the country. This particular camp happened to be held in Bangkok for the Thailand Assemblies of God. A few years ago, the Thailand Assemblies of God had their 40-year anniversary of existence. And so I was asked to do the children's part of the camp. So the kids were with us the whole time. And it was really neat because what I did was we taught them kind of the foundation of the Assemblies of God, what we believe. We taught about healing. We taught about prayer. We taught about church planting. We taught about evangelism. We taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All these things that are kind of our core values and things that we were established on. And we were able to teach the kids in their own way. And this is a picture of the day that we talked about prayer. This picture came from that day. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Another thing that I get to do is to work with kids in local churches. There's two or three different churches that I go to throughout the month. I'm not at one particular church, but I travel to two or three different churches throughout the month and teach kids at that church. In this particular church, this girl is the pastor's daughter, and once a month I go to that church and teach the children's church during the regular service. So you can go to the next picture. This lady, her name is Grace. She also goes to the same church as the pastor's daughter in the previous picture. And just to share a real quick story about her, she got saved a few years ago. She had been witnessed to by one of our Bible college students, but hadn't given her heart to the Lord yet. And then I'm not sure at what point she gave her heart to the Lord. I wasn't around too much at that time, but she got healed and saved right around the same time. And I have to get the story straight because I'm not sure if she got saved first and then healed or healed and then saved, but it was right around the same time. And she began growing in the Lord. The pastor began discipling her, him and his wife. And she has three kids. So the three kids also come to church with her every week. And they come to church as a family. It's been really exciting to be able to teach her kids in children's church every week, along with the pastor's two kids. And her son, who's the oldest, he's very inquisitive and he's kind of naughty, but he's also very smart and very inquisitive. And he loved to learn about the Bible because everything was brand new to him. He had no Bible background at all. And so it was like a sponge, you know, everything that I would say, you know, he didn't really understand it. And so it was neat to be able to explain the Bible to him. And he told me that he wanted to be baptized in water. In fact, he had told his mom and told the pastor he wanted to be baptized in water, but his father is not a Christian yet, and so they weren't sure how his father would feel about it, so they were going to kind of wait a while before he got baptized. But it was neat to see his hunger and his desire to be baptized in water. So it's exciting to be able to share Christ and to really teach the kids about the Lord. Okay, you can go ahead. This is the third area of ministry that I was involved in was the Bible school. We have a Bible school in Thailand for the Assemblies of God. There's several Bible schools, but for the Assemblies of God, we have one as well. It's a very small Bible school. We only have, in fact, currently, I think they only have 8 students. It's been bigger in the past, then it closed, and now it's kind of on its way back up. So you can pray for that if you think of it. Pray for the Bible school that will get more students. But I have had the chance to teach one class per semester at the Bible school every year. Normally, I teach about children's ministry, either administration of Christian education or curriculum writing, or I've taught children's ministry in general, but I've also taught other classes like the Book of John, Christian ethics and things along that line. So you can go ahead to the next picture. Here's just another picture of me with some of our students. Again, more students after chapel one day. And you can go ahead to the next slide. This, everyone likes to hear missionary food stories, right? So I have to share with you a food story. I stick it in under the topic of Bible school because this picture was taken when we took our Bible college students on a ministry trip. Every year at the end of the semester, we take the students on a trip outside of Bangkok to an area where they minister, do outreach, or some kind of ministry. This particular trip, we went to the northeastern part of Thailand, and we visited different churches hoping to recruit students for the next school year, as well as ministering in those churches. Well, one of the churches that we went to was actually the church of one of our students, and his family hosted us. They were so happy to host us. They were so proud. They wanted to give us their best. One of our professors who traveled with us, she really liked this dish. It's red ant eggs, okay? Big ones like that, you know, big ant eggs, yeah. And it's a specialty. They're expensive, I found out. They're very expensive. So it was a special treat that we got to eat these. Now, what they do is they kind of make it like an omelet. So it was kind of a, and the white part in there is the eggs. So there's the red ants, there's the eggs, and then there's egg. The ant eggs plus egg, chicken egg, you know, that's in there also. And actually the flavor was very good, I have to say. Flavor was good. Thais make good food. The way they mix the spices, it's always salty, sweet, sour. It's just a mixture, spicy. It's always good. And thankfully, I have a good stomach usually, and I'm pretty adventurous. But this one was interesting because it was the first time, as I was eating the eggs or the ant eggs, I realized that some of the ants were still alive. So as I was eating them, I could feel them moving in my mouth, and I thought I better hurry up and swallow these babies because they are still moving around in there. So that was my first live animal experience, hopefully my last. That was a little bit weird. I'm pretty brave, but that was weird, I have to say. Fortunately, it was just ants that were moving around. You know, I'd eaten dead ants before, so what's a live ant, you know? But I have lots of fun things that I've eaten. If you want to hear more of my food stories, I'll be happy to share them later on. But it's fun. But anyways, thank God for the Bible school. God is using the students to really, some of them when they graduate, they open plant churches. Some of them go back to their home churches and are on staff and just better equipped. We've got one girl, she's gone back to her home church and is an active part of that children's ministry that I showed you, Grow Up Gang. And she's doing great. She's really doing well. Okay, at this point, if you could turn the thing off just for a minute. It's probably not a problem, but just in case, I don't want this part to be recorded. A fourth area that I've been able is an area called EPSI. EPSI stands for Asia Pacific Student Abroad Initiative. That's a long word, so we just say EPSI. EPSI is a program for college students from colleges here in the States. We've worked with colleges like Valley Forge. In the past, we've worked with Evangel and Southwestern, North Central. All these are Assembly of God colleges. And students are able to do a semester abroad. So they come to Thailand for one semester. They are able to continue taking classes. They're able to continue getting credits. But in addition to that, they're learning Thai. Thai is one of the classes they all have to take. So they're learning how to speak Thai. And also they're involved in ministry on a regular basis. They're usually plugged in. We divide them into teams. I'm usually a team leader for one of the groups. And then they go with me to whatever ministry I do. They kind of shadow me or follow me, and they're involved in teaching the kids, they're involved in, you know, working with the children, whether at church, whether in the slums or whatever area. And then others, teams will go with other missionaries and be involved in what those missionaries are doing. It's really been an exciting program. It's gone wonderfully. The students have been so appreciative. They've been so servant-minded. They've been great. The program has gone even better than we expected that it would. And it's what's been most encouraging is that we've had students come back, or they're in the process of coming back to be missionaries for 2 years themselves, 1 year or 2 years themselves. Before I say more about that, this picture was taken at one of our outreaches. Every semester, at the end of the semester, actually she was about halfway through, we go for a visa run because they have to all extend their visas. But in the process, we make it into a ministry trip. So we go to villages outside of Bangkok, work with a church or churches, and minister in different villages. This particular village was a village. There's no church there. From what I could tell, what I knew of it, there really had been very little gospel presence. Maybe ever, you know, the people had heard about Jesus, but there was very little. And long story how I got to know this village, but through a friend, her relatives lived there. And it was really, really exciting and sad at the same time. We were able to present the gospel to we did a kids thing. There were adults all sitting around in this person's house. You know, it was just a very informal, last minute kind of thing. And afterward, one of our APSI students said, "So that's it? So now we just leave? You know, like, we can't just leave." And I thought, I know, I feel awful too, but, you know, what else? We all had to go back to Bangkok. The church that we were staying at was, I mean, it was like an hour away probably, and I'm sure there were churches that were closer, but we didn't know any of them, and so, you know, we're all like, kind of like, I guess so, you know, but they said, well, we have to come back. We have to come back. So what we did was on our way back through, we went back to the church we were staying at, and then on our way back to Bangkok the following day or 2 days, we brought tracts with us. And the tracts had the church address printed on them. So at least, you know, we told the kids, you know, here's some more about Jesus. If you ever have questions, you can call this number. And, you know, so at least we left them with something so that they weren't kind of left stranded, you know. But I just thought that was so neat that our APSI student, you know, was like, so that's it? You know, we can't just leave them. And I thought, you're right, we can't just do that. So praise God for just his calling. I've been so encouraged by the newer generation of young people coming up. I'm starting to feel old as I'm becoming a veteran and one of the mentors for all these younger missionaries, but it's been really exciting to see them with a passion for God, a passion to reach souls, and really called and committed to the Great Commission. You can go to the next picture. This is just one of the ministries that our APSI students have been involved in. They do a variety of things, but one of our APSI leaders, she has a special needs daughter herself. And so she volunteers at a school for children with special needs. And the director of that school has become friends with the team leader, our APSI team leader. And this lady, she's not a Christian yet, but she's a very unique Buddhist in the sense that she reads her Bible almost daily, she's told us. And I thought, what Buddhist reads their Bible? Like, Buddhists just don't read their Bibles, you know. But she's somewhere along the line, I can't remember the story, started reading her Bible. And there was a time that her husband had cancer. He eventually ended up dying. But during the period that he was really sick, there would be days that she would ask for us to pray for her husband that he would be relieved of pain. And she said that many times, or at least more than once, that when we would pray, that he would be in less pain the next day. So we were hoping and trusting and praying that he would be healed. But even though he was never healed and did end up dying, to her it was significant that God had answered her prayer, that he was relieved of pain and wasn't suffering like she saw him. And so that spoke to her. And she continued, from what I know, she continues to read her Bible. I saw her briefly before coming back to the States, and she continues to read her Bible, but she has not yet made a commitment to follow Christ, but I believe she's on a journey, she's on a path, and that APSI leader, she's back in Thailand now, and is going to reconnect with her, and so I'm praying that through their relationship that she will soon give her heart to the Lord. So these, the elephants that he was holding, you can see them on my backboard. In fact, I usually leave them with the pastors when I visit. It's just a little trinket from Thailand that the kids from the school made for the pastors here in the States. Okay, you can go to the next one. This picture, the girl in the front, in front of me, her name is Val. And I mentioned a minute ago that some of the APSI students are now coming back and are serving in Thailand. She's one of those girls. She was an APSI student a few years ago. Now she's back serving a 2-year term and feels God leading her to come back full time. And so it's been so exciting for me, because as missionaries who have been in Thailand for a while now, we've been praying over and over again, God, you know, you're doing great things, but there's so many opportunities in Thailand. I mean, the opportunities in Thailand are endless. It's so exciting. I mean, people are open. They're not necessarily receptive. People don't quickly come to know the Lord, but they're quick to listen. And so the opportunities are just endless. And we always say, if we just had more workers, if we just had more people, if we just had more, you know, more bodies to help do the work, we could do so much more. And so it's been exciting to see these young people responding and doing the work of the Lord. So thank you for praying. In fact, if I could leave another request, my main request, I guess, for Thailand would be pray for more workers, that God would send more workers into the harvest field, and that he would continue to raise up young people and that the work would be able to keep going forward. And I want to challenge any of you, if God is laying on your heart to go into missions full-time, there's a place for you. There's room for you in Thailand, and I'm sure any other country, there's room for you that God can make a way. If it's his will, he'll open the right doors at the right time, and he will make a way for you in the country or the place that he would call you to. So at this time, I'm going to show a video. The video, throughout the video, there'll be a song playing called I Give Myself Away. And this song, it says, I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. There's a part at the end that says, my life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself away. And this video is going to, of course, give myself away so you can use me. It's not easy to surrender ourselves to him. It's a daily thing, I think. It's easy to say it, but to actually do it is hard. Whether you're living here, whether you're living in another country, it's hard, but it's what we have to do, and it's what God calls us to do, to reach out to those around us and to give of ourselves. We used to always say it's not about you, right? We have that. It's not all about you. Life is not about us. Life is about God and about reaching others. And I know many of you are already doing that. Your lives are examples of spending yourself for other people. You're giving. You're involved in outreach and ministry and charities and different things. And so you're spending yourselves already, but just want to challenge each one of us to continue spending ourselves. It's what God appreciates. In fact, the devotional that I want to share is from Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, just a little background, the people had been fasting, and they were quite proud of themselves because of their fast. They felt like they were very religious. They felt like they were doing God such a service that they were not only fasting but doing other kind of religious deeds, outward deeds, that they were quite proud of. And they, in fact, were using their fasting and their religious acts as a manipulator, I guess you could say, to move God's hand. And they felt like they were impressing God with their righteousness. And they even said to God, God, you know, how come you're not answering our prayer? How come you're not blessing us? We're doing all these things for you. We're fasting. We're being religious. We're putting on sackcloth and ashes. We're doing all these outwardly religious things. And God kind of looks at them and says, yeah, but you're missing the point. I'm not blessing you, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is because in verse 3b, it says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. He goes on to say, is this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Then God goes on to say, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? And he goes on, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. This is the kind of thing that God was saying. You know, he wasn't impressed with their religious acts when all along they were being mean to each other, they were fighting, they were arguing, they were abusing people who were working for them, they were exploiting, they were doing all these things for God, but yet they weren't doing anything for their neighbors and their own people. It sounds like even their own family, their own flesh and blood, they were doing things that were unkind to them. They were fighting, they were, you know, attitudes were wrong. But then God says, if you do those things that he just mentioned, if you share your food with the hungry, if you provide the poor wanderer with shelter, see the naked and clothe them, then in verse 8 it says, your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and verse 10 is kind of the key verse for the Assemblies of God, Asia-Pacific region. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. And then it goes on to say other ways that God will bless them. And it just is a challenge to me that sometimes we get it wrong. We do these religious things to motivate God or to manipulate God to bless us. But God is saying, no, no, you just concentrate on loving other people. You concentrate on blessing those around you. And as you take care of their needs, and as you have your heart right, with good attitude, then I will bless you. I will take care of you, and I will satisfy your needs. I will provide for you. You will be a light. You will be a blessing, and you will be blessed. And I just want to challenge us with that today, too, that we would spend ourselves for other people and try not to be so self-focused. Try not to always think about, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. It's a challenge because our human flesh does that naturally. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our own need because we are needy people, really. You know, but if we could just challenge ourselves today to break out of that and to say, God, how can I love the people around me? How can I do good to those who are being treated unfairly? How can I clothe those who are naked and feed those who are hungry? And being confident that as we do that, God will bless us. God will take care of us. He loves us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to be established and to be blessed. All these things that he said that he will do. He wants to guide us and satisfy us and strengthen us and, you know, to help us to be a rebuilder of walls and all these different promises that God gives to them. He wants to do that, and he will. But our responsibility is just to spend ourselves for other people. And even though this chapter is talking about physical needs, it seems like those who are oppressed physically, those who are hungry and naked physically, but I think that we can also look around us and see that there's many people in our world today who are spiritually oppressed. And God would challenge us to reach out to those who are spiritually oppressed, even if they're wealthy, even if they're not being trafficked or not being oppressed or not being abused. Maybe they have everything at their advantage, but spiritually they're naked and they're hungry. And we have the answer. And so I just want to encourage us today to go forth and to spend ourselves, whether it's for people in Thailand or whether it's for people right here in Cobleskill or whatever surrounding area that you live in. And as we go to the unreached and the forgotten, as we spend ourselves for them, that they will be unreached and they will be forgotten no longer. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thank you for that reminder as far as what we're here for. I know our building project, that building is not a clubhouse for us. I've said this, I don't know how many times now, but that building is a tool to be used by the church body to reach souls locally and around the world. And so in keeping that in mind, what Deanna just mentioned as far as reaching people, that's what it's about, salvation.